Amen. Amen. Overcomer. We're in a series called Overcomer. Go ahead, man. You can clap, man. Praise God that we've got people that have overcome. There's some of you that are in this room that you're overcomers. And today we get to celebrate believers' baptism. And we've had people that have been able to overcome their fear, have been able to overcome their lack of faith to say, you know what, I believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and I want to put my faith in Him. I trust Him. I want to live for Him, and I want to serve Him. And so I'm excited about believers' baptism. It's one of my favorite things that we do in the church. You know, it and communion or the Lord's Supper, two of the most powerful things that we do. And it's two of the things that Jesus, you know, He instituted. He said, this is what I want the church. This is what I want the body of Christ doing. And so today we get to celebrate baptism. And I know too often, you know, we kind of think of baptism maybe as just kind of a badge or, you know, just kind of an accomplishment that we made. But it's so much more than that. I think Jesus made it clear how important baptism is. That baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. It's going public. It's letting everybody know that Christ lives within me. Unashamed of the gospel. Unashamed of who He is. Unashamed of what He taught. Unashamed to identify with Him. And so today we have some people who are going through the waters of baptism. And they're saying, you know what? I'm unashamed. Unashamed of the gospel. Unashamed of who Jesus is. And so I'm looking forward to, in just a little bit, being able to celebrate with these believers who have put their faith in Christ. And if you've got your Bible, you want to take it out, you can follow along maybe in the handout. There's a passage I want to read that talks about baptism. You know, oftentimes when we think about baptism, we think about John the Baptist. And John, in the Gospel of Matthew here, it's Matthew chapter 3. It reads as follows. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came to the Judean wilderness and began preaching. His message was, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent means to turn from your sin, to turn from the way you've been living, and turn to God. In other words, to change the way you're thinking, the way you're living, the way you treat people, but say, I want to line it with God's teaching, God's word. And so he was teaching a message of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And the prophet Isaiah was speaking about John when he said, he is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. And so John's clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. Let me just tell you, as a kid, I thought that was the coolest thing in the world. You know, as a young boy, I thought, man, you know, that's an outdoorsman there. That's someone who enjoys, you know, what the natural things of life. And I just thought it was so, one of the coolest things. And John the Baptist was one of my favorite characters because of that and because of his boldness, because of his courage, because of how he lived. So people from Jerusalem, from all Judea and all over the Jordan Valley went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to watch him baptized, he denounced them, called them out. He said, you brood of snakes, he exclaimed. He said, who warned you to flee God's coming wrath? Prove by the way you live. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, we're safe for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. So even now the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater than I'm not worthy even to be his slave or carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And he is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. And then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. I think John the Baptist took baptism pretty serious. He's addressing it with the religious leaders of the day. And what he's saying, hey, listen, this ain't about religion. It's about a relationship. This ain't about just kind of adding something else to my religious resume. But he's saying, you know what? I give my life. I surrender all. I want God to be honored in my life. I want to quit living the way I've been living. I want to live in a way that honors God. And so here is a man who is calling people out. And he's calling them to repentance. And he's saying, live according to the teachings. Live according to what you already know. And for many of us, if we were just to live up to what we already know from Scripture, we would know that, you know what, there's areas of our life that we need to die to. There's things that we need to crucify. There's things that we need to be willing to say, you know what, I am done with that. I want to choose God. We just got through singing songs about His love. And I hope that you know whenever you walk out of here today, man, that God loves you. He loves you so much He sent His Son to the cross for you. to pay for the sins, pay for the transgressions, the wrongs that you have done and that I have done. And so I hope that when you walk out of here, you understand, you remember we sang about His love, but we also sang about His authority and His power. We sang about the power that is in Jesus to set us free from anything. That we are not even, I mean, even death does not have authority over us. The grave does not have authority over us. But to walk in that authority and that power, that we don't have to walk around cowering in fear or being beat down by life saying, you know what, I just don't have it in me. If you have Jesus, you do. You have that authority walking in you, and it gives you the power and the authority to overcome some of the obstacles that Satan puts in front of us, and even some of the temptations that he places in front of us. But he's calling people out. And listen to the next passage. Here's Jesus showing up on the scene. It says in verse 13, it says, then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. He says, I am the one who needs to be baptized by you. He said, so why are you coming to me? John had just made it clear to the man. He goes, I'm not even worthy to tote his shoes. And then Jesus is coming to him and saying, hey, listen, I want you to baptize me. And John's argument, he said, like, you know, listen, I know you're God, but hey, I think this is out of order. I think that you need to be baptizing me. But look at what it says. But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. Jesus said, hey, listen, it's about the Father's will. It's not about whether or not we want to. It's not about whether or not it's the right thing. It's about doing what God says. It's about obedience. And so Jesus said, listen, I who am God in flesh, I who am fully man, I want to line up with the Father's will. It says, after his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. What a great proclamation from the God of the universe to all who was here. And here's the thing. God himself identified with this situation, this opportunity, this baptism. And so when Jesus comes up out of the water, God literally, man, anoints it with his presence. One of the very things that we pray for every Sunday in here is for God, Father, fill this place with your presence, with your power, with your Spirit. God, fill this place in such a way. Anoint the word, the teaching of your word. God, anoint this place with you. And so here at the baptism, here is Jesus. And when he comes up out of the water of baptism, it says that heaven opened up. I mean, think about how powerful that picture is, that heaven opens up and the Spirit of the Lord descends upon him. And he says with a loud voice from heaven, says, this is my Son whom I love. Whom I love. And so here we see this identification of God the Father with his Son. And then Jesus says, hey, listen, when you do this, you identify with me. So to identify with a holy God, to identify with the Son of God, it's important. Baptism is important. It's not just something like a little token that we do. It's not just a religious following or a religious, you know, principle or something that we try to, you know, we just want to make sure we get our ducks in a row. We want to check off all of our religious things we need to do. But it's to say, you know what, this is a starting point. This is, I'm identifying with Christ. This is a change for me. This is a watermark moment. This is a turning point for my life. I want to go public, and I want to quit living the way I've been living. I want to live in a way that honors God. And so whenever we hear that baptism is taking place, remember, it's not just something that we're just doing just to be doing. But we're identifying with Christ. Look at this next statement here. It says, baptism identifies me with Christ. And there's a great statement here. It says, Christian baptism is the means by which a person makes a public profession of faith. Here's the other thing, in discipleship. In other words, it's not just, hey, I put my faith in Christ. But you're saying, hey, listen, not only have I put my faith in him to save me, I have put my faith in him to lead me. I put my faith in him to guide me. And I put my faith in him to follow him. And so what we're saying is, you know what, I want to commit at this point to be a disciple of Christ. I want to follow his teachings. I want to live according to his standards. I want to live according to his teaching. And so what we're saying is, you know what, it's not just that I want to identify with him in this moment. I want to identify with him from this point forward. That I want to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ. Not just a Christian by name, but a Christian by my lifestyle. I'm identified with Christ. The way I think, the way I treat people, the way I look at people. The way I look at circumstances, I look at it with an eye that only God can give me. And so he's saying, you know what, I want to identify not only by faith, but with discipleship as well. And listen, it says, in the waters of baptism, a person says wordlessly. Because here's the thing, in the baptistry, you know, I will say a few words, but they are saying it with their life. They're saying wordlessly, I confess faith in Christ. Jesus has cleansed my soul. He has washed away my sin. He has made me right with a living God, with a holy God, with the one true God. And so therefore, He has cleansed my soul from sin, and now I have a new life of sanctification. And sanctification is literally being changed and transformed by the power of God and by the Word of God. And so what we're committing to is not just to say, hey, listen, I'm lining up with Jesus through baptism, but I'm lining up with Him with my life. I want to follow His teaching. I want to be sanctified. I want to be set apart. Look at this next statement here. It says, sanctification is the effect of obedience to the Word of God in one's life. It is the same as growing in the Lord or spiritual maturity. I was at a ballpark yesterday or Friday night, and I was talking to a guy, and he said something about, you know, I said, man, you changed. And he's gone to our church for many years, and I've watched the change and the transformation that has taken place in his life. And he said, you know what? He said, you're right, Mike. He said, I have changed. He said, my boys don't know how lucky they are to be raised in a church like Journey. He said, I wasn't raised in that type of church. He said, but man, he said, my mind has been changed. He said, the way I do things has been changed. And I said, you've been sanctified. You've been set apart. And here's the thing is, he is seeking to apply the teaching of God's Word to his life, and it's changing how he conducts his life. It changes how he sees things, and it changes his value system. Things that once he thought were so important are no longer at the top of the list. And so here's the thing, and the question for us is, men, have I been sanctified? Have I been set apart for God's purposes and for God's work? Am I living that out? Am I living as one who has been sanctified? And so for these that will go through the waters of baptism, not only are they identifying with Christ saying that I am a believer, but they're saying I'm identifying with Him from this point forward. It's not that this is the end. This is the beginning. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of a journey. This is the beginning of a spiritual walk. This is the beginning of a spiritual life. And so as they take these steps, and somebody feel like this is a baby step, but it's a big step. It's a huge step. Look at what Jesus said here in John chapter 17. And understand this, we talk about the Lord's Prayer as the model prayer. There's the model prayer that we're given that most of us will memorize and we will quote. But this is the prayer of Jesus as He prays for believers. This is John chapter 17. And so here He is saying, He goes, I have given them Your word. He's talking to the Father. He's praying to the Heavenly Father. And He's praying for the disciples. And He's praying for all who will believe through their message. That's us. So if you ever wondered, hey man, has Jesus ever prayed for me? Absolutely. He recorded it in Scripture. He says, I've given them Your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. So I'm not asking You to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Because here's the thing, the evil one will attack us. He will come against us. He'll do everything he can to thwart your walk. He'll do everything he can to distract you, to discourage you, to make you afraid, to cause you to live in fear. That's his job. And so Jesus, the Son of God, is praying for you and for me. And he's saying, God, protect them from the evil one. And his prayers are as powerful as they get. He says, they do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them so they can be made holy by your truth, by God's word. And so as we are growing in our faith, as we are learning what God's word teaches us, and as we learn the word of God and we apply it to our life, here's the thing, we are being sanctified, we're being changed, we're being transformed, we're becoming more and more like Christ. And here's the thing, we're being set apart for his work and for his agenda, for his purposes and his plans. And so let me ask you, whenever you think about your walk with Christ, do you see yourself being changed and transformed? Are you the same old dude you used to be? Are you the same old girl you used to be? Because see, here's the thing, as a follower of Christ, not just a Christian, because I know we throw that tag around, that title around, but if we're followers of Christ, we ought to be being changed and transformed daily. In other words, I ought to be a little bit more like Jesus this week than I was last week, a little bit more like Jesus this month than I was last month, and a whole lot more like Jesus this year than I was last year. Or are you the same? See, the world looks to see if we're different. They look to see if it's real. They want to know, hey, is your faith real? Are you just going through the motions? Are you just going, you know, just kind of claiming the title? But do you have the lifestyle to back it up? Do you follow Christ day in, day out? Do you seek to honor Him? Here's the statement, the next statement there. Baptism is the first step of obedience in our journey of faith. there will be many. There will be many steps ahead. There's been so many times whenever God has called me to do something, and I would be honest with you, I wasn't obedient. There's been times when I feel like God put it on my heart to share the gospel with someone, to share Jesus with someone, and I would say, you know what? Man, you know, I'll get to that later. And here's the thing. There's been times when there wasn't a later. I missed that window of opportunity. I was disobedient. And we talk about the sins of omission and the sins of commission. There's some that we commit sins on purpose, and there's some that we just kind of omit. We just don't do. It's a sin of not doing what we ought to do and not doing what we know to do. And so if we as believers would just live up to what we know, here's the thing, our lives would be different, our families would be different, our marriages would be different. If we would just live up to what we already know to do, we'd just be obedient. And so here, these new believers are taking a step. And it's one of the first steps of obedience. And let me just say, I know through the years there's been plenty of times whenever Christians would make a decision to accept Christ, but they didn't want to follow Him in believer's baptism. You know how I know that? Because I was one of them. I would sit there, you know, I'd given my life to Christ at the age of 19, and I was afraid of going through the waters of baptism. One of my biggest fears in life was getting up in front of people. And I was afraid, and Satan used fear to keep me from following Christ in the first step of obedience. And here's the thing, if he can keep you from following Christ in believer's baptism, what else is he going to keep you from? If you can't go before the church and be baptized and watch the church celebrate what you have done and what you are doing, how in the world will you be able to follow him on Monday? How will you be able to follow him when he tells you to share with your neighbor? How will you be able to follow him on the next step or the next step or the next step that might be there? Because if we can't follow him on the first one, we're not following him at all. And too often what happens is we let someone else dictate what we're going to do rather than the one that we say is the Lord of our life. So are you following him? Are you a follower of Christ, or you just got a tag and a title? Are you a believer who lives out your faith day in, day out in such a way that people around you go, there's light in this one. There's life in this one. There's Jesus in this one. Or can they not even tell? And so baptism is a command. We see that in the Great Commission. You hear me talk about the Great Commission quite often. The Great Commission are our marching orders of the church. And when I say the church is those who have put their faith in Christ. It's not just this building. It's these people. It's these followers of Christ. And so for us as a church, these are our marching orders. This is a command that we get from Jesus himself. He hands it off to the disciples. They pass it on down. And through the years, they have continued to hand it off to the church and say, these are our marching orders. So baptism is a command. We see in the Great Commission, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given authority. I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. When we see that Jesus has been filled, he's been given all authority in all of heaven and all of earth. And here's the thing, he's empowering us. How can we live defeated? How can we live, you know, defeated lives when the Spirit of the living God is living within us? Jesus says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. But yet too often we live defeated lives in this world. As Christians, as followers, he's saying all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And here he is. He's empowering us. He's literally breathing life into the church. And he's saying, go. Hey, listen, go and teach them. Go and make them disciples. Go and baptize them. It's a command. So he says, therefore, go and make disciples. In other words, that's sharing the gospel. It's teaching others how they can be saved. And baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Unifying, identifying with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And so whenever these believers will come today, we'll say, hey, listen, you know, maybe it's Joe. Say, hey, Joe, do you know without a shadow of a doubt that Christ lives in your heart? If he says yes, I'll say, Joe, upon that public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Like the passage says on the back of their shirts, and we had it even in the intro video, it says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. So let me ask you, are you still living the old life? Or have you experienced the new that comes with Christ? Do you just have religion? Do you have church membership? Have you gone to church your whole life? I've had people tell me, man, I've gone to my church my whole life. And I'm like, so what? That doesn't change you. You may have been, you know, exposed to a lot of the teachings. You may have even heard a lot. But here's the thing. Sometimes we can become immune to what God is doing because we've heard it so much. But we've never surrendered. And we just kind of know the answers. There's plenty of people who know the answers. They've never surrendered. Never given their life. Never given their heart to Jesus. And so we're told here it's a command. We're identifying with Him. It's a step of obedience. And it's a command. You might say, well, Mike, that probably is out of order. Doesn't matter. Here's the thing is, are you going to follow Him or not? And not just through the waters of baptism. Are you going to follow Him on Monday? Are you going to live according to His teachings? Look at this statement here. It talks about baptism by immersion. One of the things that we speak to here at Journey Church, and this is not a denominational thing. This is a biblical thing. We believe in baptism by immersion. Here are the reasons that we do this. Number one, the meaning of the word baptizo in Greek is essentially to dip or immerse, to put under. It's like a ship that is sinking is put under the water. It goes under the water. And so the descriptions of baptism in the New Testament suggest that people went down into the water to be immersed rather than having water brought to them in a container to be poured or sprinkled. And I understand there's plenty of denominations that do something different. The reason that we do what we do is because that's what's in the Bible. It goes back to, I want to line it with what Jesus did. If He went down into the river, and you might say, well, Mike, why don't we go to the river? We got a river right up here. We got water right up here. And I've baptized plenty of people in the river. Here's my thing. The main thing, are you following Christ and being put under? Are you saying, you know what, I want to model what He modeled. I want to follow what He did. I want to do what Jesus did. And so we've had some people who say, you know what, I want to follow Christ as a believer. And let me just tell you this, our baptism can get out of order. My wife's testimony is a powerful testimony of where her sister gave her life to Christ at a young age. And then, you know, they asked Laura, do you want to be baptized? Sure. What kid doesn't want to be baptized? That's a cool thing, isn't it? And we'll have students that will come in here. That section back there in the back is reserved for our students to come in a little bit for baptism because they're going to be supporting their friends. But here's the thing is there are times that kids want to be baptized because it's kind of cool to go up there and get in that big tub. So Laurie, you know, she said, hey, I want to be baptized. So she was baptized. And at 17, a guy asked her, he said, I want you to write down your testimony. He said, your testimony is when you realized you needed Jesus Christ. What your life was like before that, when you realized you needed Jesus Christ. And then I want you to write down what God has done in your life since that point of accepting Him. And Laurie goes, I've never done that. And someone said, well, weren't you baptized? And she goes, yeah, but I've never given my life to Christ. So Laurie gave her life to Christ there at youth camp. At 17 years of age, she prayed to receive Christ. And she received the greatest gift the world has ever been given. And that is Jesus Christ. And so she received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, who she had put her faith in as Lord and Savior. And then she began to be discipled. And not too long after that, she followed Christ in believer's baptism as a believer. And so I had a lady come up to me after the service, or a young man come up to me after the first service, at the end of the service, and he said, you know what? He said, I got baptized when I was younger, but I got saved when I was at camp a couple of years ago, but I've never followed Christ in believer's baptism. So here's the thing. They need to be baptized as a believer. Hey, I've put my faith in Christ. I know what it means to be born again. I know what it means to be saved. And so whenever baptism takes place as a believer, and they understand, you might say, well, how old do you have to be? It's childlike faith. Childlike faith. But a sincere, life-changing faith. Sincere, life-changing faith. So is your baptism in order? You know, I think about the gift that we're given through salvation. There's a lot of people that think, hey, we have to earn it. So I've got to memorize scripture. I've got to go to church. I've got to go through the waters of baptism. I've got to do all these things. No, no, no. What we often think is I've got to earn this. I've kind of got to get good enough. No, no, no. You will never be good enough. Nobody in this room will ever be good enough. I was never good enough. But the thing is Jesus was good enough. He walked without sin. He did not sin. And so I want you to understand, you don't earn salvation. It is the gift of God. It's not earned by works. It's not earned by baptism. It's not earned by anything other than receiving the gift that only God can give. I had an uncle one time that I was sharing with him the gospel. We had a family get together, and I was telling him about my salvation, how I'd been saved. And I asked him, I said, Big Jim, is there any reason you wouldn't give your life to Christ right now? He said, well, there's some things I want to kind of get straight in my life. I said, like what? He goes, well, I want to quit smoking. He said, I want to start reading my Bible. Or I want to go back to church. I said, Big Jim, you're trying to clean your life up yourself. I said, Jesus died for nothing if you can do it. I said, why not put your faith in Him for salvation? Why not just say, you know what? I've tried. I can't do it. I've messed up. I've blown it. And so, Jesus, I put my faith in You. And he wanted to go back and clean everything up. And so what's your mentality? Are you trying to clean your life up? Are you trying to do a little bit better? Hey, I'm gonna do, instead of just say, God, here I am. I am broken. I am messy. And I don't know how to do it. But my faith is in You. Jesus, my faith is in You. Look at this passage here. This is out of Acts chapter 8, which is the early church. And I love the story of the early church and how the church began to flourish. And one thing I want you to understand, you know, in the beginning, here we are identifying with Christ. And it may be a little bit embarrassing to get up in front of people. We may struggle with identifying because we're afraid that people will go, man, I know him. I know how much beer he's drank. I know how much she's done. I know, you know, and you start worrying about what everybody thinks instead of worrying about what God thinks. And so we talk ourselves out of following him. But let me tell you what would happen back in the early church. If someone said, man, I want to be identified with Christ, at times their family would disown them. They would say, we are done with you. Nothing. You have nothing to do with us. We disown you. And there are some places in the world today that if you say, I want to identify with Christ, I want to put my faith in him, I want to be a believer, the family will completely disown them and say, you are dead to me. And so in this time, it not only would cost you your family, sometimes it would cost you your life. You had Roman emperors who were not in favor of what they called the way, and that was the teaching that Jesus had. It was called the way of Jesus, the way that Christ lived. And so the thing is there was people that would say, hey, listen, I'm going to identify with Christ. And if they went public, they were putting their life on the line. And here's the thing, there's some of us that we're too embarrassed to follow him. It's not much of a follower at all. Listen to what it says here. It says, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. He started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Philip ran over. I love the eagerness of Philip. Man, he just took off to go share, to go listen, to go see what God wanted him to do. And so Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? Here's what I love. If you were here last weekend, Corey Hicks, who taught for us last weekend and talked to our students throughout the weekend, he talked about the same passage. And the thing I loved about Corey was so transparent last Sunday. If you were in this service, man, there was great worship and it was great teaching. But here's the thing, there was great transparency. And he was honest and transparent about his failures and his struggles and the fact that he was an overcomer, not because of anything he brought to the table, but because of what Christ did in him. But as he challenged our students that weekend, he challenged them about being quick to go share their faith with their friends. And here's the thing. We as adults need to hear the same thing. And we need to say, you know what? I need to be quick to go share my faith with my friends. Like Philip, he ran to be able to go share and to be able to talk about this great gospel. So the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. And seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. So Philip ran over, and he heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? The man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of Scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Talk about Jesus. He was humiliated and received no justice. Let me just interject this here. He was humiliated for your sins and for my sins. He was humiliated in that he was hung as a criminal, naked, for the whole world to see. And that's our Savior. He was humiliated for your sins and for my sins, for your lies and your cheating, for your lust, for your addiction. See, Jesus was humiliated for everything that we do, not for anything that he did. And the great thing is here's Philip, who has an opportunity to explain why Jesus would go to the cross. and how it can change this man's life forever. But he was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I get baptized?" And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. So I want you to get the picture here. The good news was shared. The good news of the gospel. That's what the gospel means. The good news is this. Is that Jesus left heaven and he came to earth. And he taught how we can be in right standing with God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then he would go to the cross and he would literally bear your sins and my sins. And he would literally be have God turn his back on him while he hung on the cross. And he would scream out, he'd go, "Father, why have thou forsaken me?" And as theologians will say, it's because God is holy. He couldn't look on the sin, and the sin of the world was placed on his son. That's the good news. Because that sin should have been placed on you and on me. But instead, God had someone go in our place. It was his son, Jesus. And so Jesus went and hung on the cross for your sins and my sins. And so whenever God looks at us and when we accept Christ and we receive Jesus for salvation, here's the thing. It's the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our life. And like the statement says, we are cleansed of our sin. We are washed as white as snow. We are made right with God. We are made holy because of what Jesus has done in us. And therefore, we are separated from being a sinful person to being saved. You know what? You are washed in the blood. Now walk in righteousness. Separated, different from the world, saying, "You know what? This is what I desire. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to walk in." And so whenever we are washed in the blood of Christ, here's the thing. It ought to move our hearts to say, "You know what? If he can die for me and be humiliated for me, I can live for him. I can live for him. I can pursue him. I can cherish his words. I can cherish his teachings." And to say, "I want to be discipled. I want to grow in my faith in such a way that, you know what, I'm able to lead others." That's what Philip did. And here's the thing. The Ethiopian eunuch would go back to his nation, praising God, sharing what he had heard. And let me just tell you, that is the mission of the church. That is our mission, is that we hear it, we receive it, and we go share it every chance we get. And so therefore, we as the church become the messenger of the gospel, the good news. And so as we are living our lives, as we are doing our jobs, as we are teaching our children, as we are raising our families, we are presenting the good news of Christ through our actions, through our words, and through our deeds. And so we have an opportunity to identify with the Son of God, to identify with the one true God, and to say, "You know what? I want my life to matter. I want to identify with him. I want to be obedient. I want to follow his commands. I want to follow his teachings." Jesus would tell, he'd say, "Listen, the world will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another and the fact that you follow my teachings." So does the world know that you're a follower of Christ? They should. Do they know that you believe with all your heart that he is the Son of God? Do they know that you are in right standing with God and that they can be too? They should. But we have been called, we have been commissioned, and we have been commanded to go in his name, presenting that great truth. I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. There's a couple of next steps I put here at the bottom. One, it says to give my life to Christ and receive his gift, to receive his gift of salvation. Maybe that's your step today. Listen to what I said. To give my life to Christ and receive his gift of salvation. Maybe this is the second one, to follow Christ in believer's baptism. Maybe like me, you were afraid. You're afraid you might do something wrong. You're afraid that people might think you were too bad to be saved. Maybe it's this next one, to choose to walk in obedience to God's word. Quit pursuing the world and pursue the word. Maybe you're chasing the world. You think you got it by the tail. And one day you may get to the end of your life and realize, "You know what, I had the ladder on the wrong wall." Think we're knocking on the gates of heaven. We're knocking on the gates of hell. Maybe you say, God, I want to live for you. Doesn't mean you have to change your job sometimes. Maybe it means you just need to go to your job and be a light there. Be light in darkness. Maybe go out of here today and you say, God, I want to live for you in every aspect of my life. I want to walk with you in obedience. God, I want to learn from your word. So maybe the step is, you know what, you find someone to disciple you. You find someone to teach you, like the eunuch got Philip to teach him. This last step says to live as one set apart by God. To live so different from the world that everybody knows it. That everybody knows it. To live as one set apart. To live as one set apart. I want to ask you a couple of questions. But I really want you to ask God these questions. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to ask God, say, God, do I know you? God, show me where I stand with you. God, am I just religious? Or do I have a relationship? God, am I just going through the motions? Or am I filled with the Spirit? God, search me right now. Show me anything in me that's keeping me from being in right standing with you. Let me ask you, are you a believer? Are you a follower? Have you ever put your faith in Christ for salvation? You might think, Mike, I've never done that. Today can be that day. You don't have to wait for another moment. There's nothing like the present. So I want to ask you, if this is you, you say, Mike, I've never asked Christ to come into my life. I've never been saved. I've never been born again. I don't fully understand all that's involved, but by faith today, I want that to change. By faith today, I want that to change. And so nobody else is looking around, but I want you to raise your hand. Say, Mike, that's me. Anybody in here, just raise your hand and say, Mike, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to be saved. Anybody, you got the courage to identify with him. Say, Mike, I want to put my faith in Christ. Anybody? Anybody? I'm looking around. I don't see any hands. So maybe that tells me that everybody, I see one hand here. Anybody else? Raise your hand high. Raise them where I can see them. Man, be proud. Say, I want to identify with Christ. I see this hand here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Raise them where I can see it. I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. These three have raised their hands. Say, hey, listen, man, I want to receive Christ for salvation. Let me walk you through that. Here's the incredible thing about it. It's by faith that we are saved, not by works. So this is a moment where you, by faith, put your faith in Christ. And so I want to lead you three. Everybody else, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. But those three of you that raised your hand, I want you to look up here at me. I want you to look up here at me. By faith. Nothing more. It's not works. But by faith, you say, I want to be saved. Here's the thing. Jesus went to the cross for that very reason. It's not anything that you earn. It's not anything that you have to purchase. It's not anything that you have to work for. It's a gift that you receive by faith. And so here's the thing. By faith, I want to lead you through a prayer. I want you to bow your head. All three of you. Here's the thing. Let this be the prayer of your heart. Let it be sincere. And if it is, your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. Never to be erased. Written with the blood of Christ. And so this is the prayer. Say, Jesus, I believe that you can save me. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And with all the faith that I have right now, I put my faith in you for salvation, Jesus. And I'm asking you to save my soul, to change me forever. It doesn't matter how young or how old you might be. It's the same faith. If you prayed that prayer, according to Scripture, you are accepted into the body of Christ. You are now an adopted child of God, which is powerful. It says that we are adopted into His family. And the incredible thing about whenever that Scripture was written is you could not disown an adopted child. You could not disown and adopt a child. You are committed to them forever. And so for those three that raised their hand, I hope you know what your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're His. You're part of His family. And you can say now, by faith, I've been saved. I've been saved. There may be some of you in this room that you've never followed Christ in believer's baptism. I want to ask you, if you've never followed Christ in believer's baptism, I know we've got some that are going to be baptized today. Anybody, you said, Mike, I've never followed Christ in believer's baptism. I just want you to put your hand up. I said, Mike, I'm a believer, but I've never followed Christ in believer's baptism. All right, I see your hand. Anybody else? It takes courage to do that. I'm a believer, Mike, but I've never been baptized as a believer. Anybody else? Anybody else? I see your hand as well. I appreciate you having the courage to raise your hand. I want everybody just to look up here for a second. God's good, man. God is a good guy. He's a loving guy. And His love has been received by three today, which is awesome. Isn't that awesome? Man, let's give God a hand on that. That is huge, huge. Let me tell you this. That has eternal, eternal ramifications. And I know we sometimes throw those words around. That means forever. As long as you can imagine, from the beginning to the end, He is the Alpha and the Omega. And what He is saying is, listen, you know what? They are His now. And so I want to ask all the baptism candidates to go ahead, and you guys can go on back. This is our VIP team over here. They're going to meet you guys. And so if you're to be baptized today, go ahead. You can come on over. And y'all give them a hand. Y'all clap it up. That takes courage. That takes courage. Some of these have made that decision to accept Christ. And they said, one was last Friday night. I just saw him walk out of here, Austin. Told me when he got here that Friday night, he said, man, I'm real nervous. And afterwards, I saw him give his life to Christ, I walked up and said, Austin, you were nervous. I said, you just didn't realize your life was going to be changed forever. Some of you have been changed forever today. That is awesome. And so I want to encourage you to be willing to do the same. Let me just say this. We have got clothes. You might be here and you have never followed Christ in believer's baptism. We brought clothes. You might say, well, I didn't bring clothes. We did. And you might say, Mike, so I didn't bring anything to change into. We brought it for you. And we want to give you an opportunity. And it's kind of like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. There's water right up there. And we would love for you to follow Christ in believer's baptism. We want to give you that opportunity to say, you know what, I'm going public. I want everybody to know Christ lives in me. And so I want to give you an opportunity. If you want to stand up, and I know there was one that raised their hand, said they had not followed Christ in believer's baptism, but there were three that said, I pray to receive Christ today. We have a team that will help you make sure that you're clear on that decision. But here's the thing. We want to celebrate with you if you want to take that step. I want to pray for you. And if you want to stand up now and go, you go ahead. And when I start this prayer, you know, if I go 1, 2, 3, and you go ahead and take off, you go ahead. And here's the thing. We will take care of you, I promise you, all three of you. Take courage. Takes courage. But we want to celebrate with you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these three. God, that took courage to raise their hand. It's going to take even more courage to walk out of this room and to follow you in believer's baptism. But God, I ask you to fill this place with your spirit, with your presence and your power like you have all day long. Give them the strength they need. Give them the courage they need. Father, I pray they know that we are for them. We are not against them. Father, I pray that you'd bless them. I thank you that souls have been saved, that lives have been changed. And God, I look forward to this baptism celebration. May you receive all glory and all honor in Jesus' name. Amen. The band's going to play. It's not too late. You can get up and go over here. This team will take care of you. As Matt leads us in a song, you come join us. I'm going upstairs to get ready, and we fix to celebrate souls being saved, lives being changed.